The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real.
Real.
Relaxed.
Relaxed.
But relevant.
But relevant. But relevant.
She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. It's another great day to be in the neighborhood. And it is a beautiful day. It's a wonderful day to be alive. And I'm so grateful that you tuned in to us. So if you're on your way to work, or if you're in a hybrid where you're working at home, or maybe even getting something hot to drink or eating your breakfast, stay tuned. It is primary election season here in the state of Pennsylvania. So for the next weeks, we're going to be meeting the candidates, hearing from them, wanting to know what their platforms are so you can be informed. And this is backed by Popular to Ben. But first, we're going to begin with a word from our sponsor.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Allegheny. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there. They'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you call the Dedicated Difference, you won't be disappointed.
Second chance. What a way to start your day. It's wonderful to know he's more than just one chance, two chance, three chance, but he's the God of another chance. And that is a wonderful intro to my first guest, who is Mr. James Jones, the Republican candidate for Lieutenant Governor. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm just fine. Good morning, Bishop Mary. And it's such a blessing to be online and just simply having a chance to talk with you once again today. Thank you for the invitation to be with you today.
I appreciate you, sir, for accepting the invitation. And when I posted, somebody said, "You're talking to a Republican." I said, "Well, I am a broadcaster, so I can't be. I have to open it up for everyone. I can't be partisan. I have to open the opportunity to anyone and everyone, particularly during the election season, to have an opportunity to share their platform." And so inquiring minds want to know, who was James Jones?
Well, thank you. But let me just respond to what you said when they asked, "Oh, you're going to have a Republican on your radio program." I immediately thought about Jesus. You know, Jesus, he was a guy that I try to model myself after, because as a Christian, I try not to lean not to the left, to the right, but I want to let Jesus be my role model so that I can have a life that I can be able to, when I walk into that chamber, when my day is called, that I can say, "Yeah, Jesus, I saw your role model leadership, that you connected with prostitutes, that you connected with prisoners, that you connected Republicans and taxpayers and the whole gamut, and that I did those things, and that I visited people who were sick, and that I visited people who were shut in and homeless." So, you know what, quite funny kid, that is my platform. Yes, I am James Earl Jones, and I am running for lieutenant governor. I am a born-again Christian, and I had Christ in my life since I was 12 years old, born and raised as a Southern Baptist in Luxor, Arkansas. I am a veteran of three wars. I've been through Vietnam, Beirut, First Gulf War. I've been an Eagle Scout. I have a life of service. But when I started serving Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I knew it just couldn't stay in one particular area. And that's why I have to look at my business background, my Christian background, and my leadership skills, and put it to practical use for the four platforms that I'm running on. As a candidate for lieutenant governor, I think you got to have someone there who has a business background, who can, as I've done, created a 3 to 5 year business plan with four key platforms, Bishop Mary, and that includes the economy, that includes environment, that includes education and energy. Because I believe if those four areas are touched in the right leadership manner, we're going to open up a number of different areas to address the real issue, and that is spiritual warfare that we're up against. We're up against those four, regardless whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Jew, we're up against spiritual warfare. And if we don't do something about it, we're going to be in really serious trouble when our day comes around and Jesus have to, the Son of God has to look at us and see what we do while we were here. So that's what I'm here about to talk about.
And you spoke about those four areas. It's ironic because the first question I'm going to ask you is to please be sure to let us know what you said, the economy, education, environment, and energy. In a snippet sense, could you give us a key point for each one that you were speaking about that are on your platform?
Yes. Well, the economy, I believe that there are so many opportunities in my first platform for the economy. I think we have to be able to have people to access the American dream once again. And the only way we can do that, especially in Philadelphia, is to have access to those economic opportunities. But we have to be willing. You know, the Bible says, "If man doesn't work, he should be paralyzed." And I believe that if we have access to those contracts, to those jobs, and where they're out there made available for us, that the government is inspiring private practice to come out and that they're going to incentivize them instead of building stumbling blocks, then we will be successful at seeing Pennsylvanians, and specifically in Philadelphia, where there's a significant need to get people back to work again. That's going to be really critical in my platform as a lieutenant governor. The second part is to put a muzzle over the Department of Environmental Protection, the DEP. The Environmental Protection Agency right now is causing companies to go to other places outside of Pennsylvania, because what we are doing is that we're creating such a millstone around the necks of new businesses that are coming into Pennsylvania, and it's causing up all kinds of problems. For example, I know three large companies, steel companies, that were looking at Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Bethlehem for starting new steel mills. And they opted to go to Arkansas, the place where I was born and raised, to open up because Arkansas had friendlier permitting requirements. And those people were going to be paid jobs ranging, so anywhere from 1,100 jobs down to 700 jobs with the three companies. And they were starting out $80,000 to $120,000 a year for salaries. These are blue-collar workers, Bishop Mary. But Pennsylvania DEP, their Environmental Protection Agency, shut the doors on them, made it so difficult that they knocked the dust off their feet, and they went to Arkansas. Now, the other part is education. I think it's so important that we wake up our children, particularly black children who are unable to finish high school and walk into good jobs that they are being required to be challenged with for our adversaries. Prime example, China is teaching their third-year-olds a certain multi-level grade of calculus. Yet instead, in America, we're teaching our third-graders how men are having babies. That doesn't seem to work right when you start elevating these little guys up to young, mature adults who are going to fulfill job requirements as we get older. So we need to start teaching civics, history, reading, writing, arithmetic, and be able to stay focused on task. I mean, anything, if it's not about building up a child so that they can be successful, not everybody's going to go to college. So let's open up trade schools. Let's open up the opportunity for them to learn to weld, plumb, do carpentry, masonry work. Let's make sure that we have parents as legislators that we're reaching out to the needs of children and that we're being helpful and not being a hindrance. Because if we're being a hindrance, we're allowing our adversaries to do some things that we are not doing. And we do have good public schools and we do have good charter schools in America and particularly in Pennsylvania. So we should be competitive. And the last platform is energy. We need to have the resources that are right here in our Commonwealth made available to keep us in business and not have to pay the money that we're spending at the gas pumps right now. I don't care what politician says that we have all these permits out there and the environmental energies, the energy companies are not using them. That's not true, Bishop Mary. I run a petroleum company. I run one. So I know what's going on in America. We have what is called a Keystone XL pipeline. It can run all the way through Pennsylvania and down to the Philadelphia shipyard and also over to Chesterport. But we're not smart enough. Our legislators are not smart enough to do that. And they got all these different regulatory requirements that they're fearful of. And that instead they're saying, oh, no, we have to stop that. Yet instead, we give access for that same liquid gas from Russia to Europe, and now we're in war with Russia. Russia's in war with Ukraine, and they're not being able to play by fair rules. They've attacked the country unfairly, and we're saying, well, now what are we going to do about fuel? Well, it's the energy sector's fault. No, it's not. We should have been doing this energy sector in Pennsylvania long before that started. But we shut the doors trying to be friendly to others when we know good and well. We have to be tough sometimes. You know, Jesus talked about being a lion and a lamb, and especially towards end days where they both can lay with one another. Well, right. We have to be able to show our teeth, even in business, and also be able to be willing to love one another once they've said, okay, I'm ready to come on over to the other side. We have to be willing to do that. So, again, that's what I believe in doing. I believe that we have to have a spirit of Christ, and that's what I am. I am a Christian, and what I'm doing is not because I'm looking for a job. I don't need a job, Bishop. I'm doing it because I see what's happening in urban communities. Urban communities need government assistance. Suburban communities, they're very self-sufficient. In rural communities, they're pretty self-sufficient. So it's being able to find a balance.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
To find a balance with where we have to direct resources and how we have to empower people to get things done so that they can deal with this economic warfare that we're faced with.
Absolutely. Well, I have at least two questions for you in our time that we have remaining. The first question is, just on the front page of the Philadelphia Metro this morning, it stated, in Pennsylvania, Republicans are registering formerly Democratic voters at four times the rate that Democrats are making the reverse conversion. Can you tell me one or two things that are definitely making that a fact?
Absolutely. Calvin Tucker, which is a Philadelphia resident, he's the director of diversity and inclusion from the Republican Party. I've known Calvin Tucker for many, many years, and I applaud his effort for walking into a lion's den, just as Daniel had done, because Republicans are not easily received in Philadelphia. However, the many Democrats are looking at the economy and they're saying, wait a minute, we have to do something about what's going on. It seems like the government in Washington and Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, they're not concerned about us. They're not concerned about the real violence that are taking place in the streets. They're not concerned about our safety. They talk about crime. They talk about controls, but they're not doing a lot for that. So we have to have people who are now becoming common thinkers. And they are looking at the Republican Party as being common thinkers. There's nothing brilliant about being a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican conservative, and I believe Frederick Douglass, who inspired the Emancipation Proclamation, has that same ability to inspire, whether it's the governor, whether it's to inspire mayors across the Pennsylvania, or whether it's to inspire anybody. But we need to get people on board. Specifically, if you want to see me elected as the next lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, I need every vote. I need that conversion. So I appreciate what Calvin Tucker is doing and the Metro article that spreads throughout. I hope people are reading that. And I hope you're understanding the American dream is going to disappear if we continue with the same kind of leadership.
Very good. Secondly, a question that came in was, you stated that you're a devout Christian. You have no problem with that. Will that influence or hinder your ability to lead fairly as an elected official?
I think it gives me the opportunity to lead fairly because, you know, as a Christian, each and every day I practice my faith. And I know that God hears my prayers. And the opening intro song you did today was beautiful. And it makes me shed tears every time I hear that because we deal with the God of a second chance. He's not looking for your capabilities, but your availability. And when I was prayed for to run for this office, I surrendered and said, yes, God, I will run for lieutenant governor for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I made that decision based upon a spiritual influence. And I know that I can be able to deal with whether it's Republicans, Democrats, Independents, I can deal with the entire community, whether it's LGBTQ or whoever groups it might be, Jewish. I live in these areas. I lived in Philadelphia for many years. I've ran for Congress in Philadelphia, and I understand the dynamics of what's going on. So having that cross-sectional interference to bring people in, I am a Christian, and you know, and I'm going to let that, yes, I am. I've been to one church for 17 years in Pennsylvania, and I've been a saved, born-again Christian since I was 12 years old. So, yes, I've dealt with the heathens, and I've dealt with the hood rats, but by the same token, I am a Christian, and I know how to behave myself in the right times because I know I have a stronger, I am an ambassador of Christ, and I have to be able to walk that line a little bit tighter and to make sure I'm doing the right things, Bishop Mary.
Well, I certainly appreciate you sharing that, and time has gotten away. So if people want to reach out to you, how would they do so?
A couple of ways. You can reach me at Jones, F-O-R-L-T, Governor, PA.com. That's my website. And you want to be able to send me a note, drop me a couple of dollars, that'll be fine. Otherwise, you can send me an email to that same address, Jones. For LT Governor at PA@gmail.com, or you can call my phone number. This is a number I use all the time. It's 808-321-1570. I'm not a bill collector, so when I call you back, don't get scared. Okay.
Yeah, we do. We do thank God for caller ID.
Yeah, Yes, ma'am.
Because, you know, what is this number? I don't know this number. Let me tell you. All right. So, folks, if you want to hear more about Mr. Jones's platform, if you want to have an opportunity to talk to him, meet with them, find out where he's going to be in your area, please reach out to jonesforlieutenantgovernor@gmail.com or call 808-321-1510. 1570. I can tell you, I called the number and he answered. So it's an authentic number. And again, we thank you so much for being on the Bishop Mary Show. I appreciate your accepting my invitation. And I'm praying that God will, at the end of the day, get all the glory, no matter the outcome.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
God
Thank
bless you
for your service to Bishop. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
More than a year ago, an invisible and underestimated virus rocked our world, killing 4.55 million people worldwide, including 719,000 in the United States. And the numbers are still rising. Regardless of race, creed, gender, or economic status, we've lost families, friends, neighbors, and colleagues to this unseen killer that rocked us to our core. But yet, we still had hope. Hope that we held on to by our prayers. Now we have three vaccines available to us: Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna. In order to make the choice that's best for you, consider these three things. First, you must trust the science. Secondly, trust the influencer. And thirdly, trust the authorized vaccination site administering the vaccine. And please, continue to wear your mask, continue to social distance yourselves, and practice proper cleaning habits. If you do your part, we all will rise victoriously.
Well, everybody, I'm excited now to hear from one of my favorite locations, West Philly, for Dedicated Seniors.
Delighted to talk to the MGC, best known as the Member Growth Consultant for the West Philadelphia location, Mr. Ray McLean. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bishop Mary. I am doing good. Thank the Lord. Blessed more than I deserve.
Absolutely. So, here in West Philadelphia, the Membership Growth Consultant is one who is, I want to say, the advertisement before the reality.
Yes, very much so.
What is it that you do that helps Dedicated Seniors in West Philadelphia?
Well, you know, I'm in ministry, and the way I look at it is very similar. Getting the word out, like I do about the gospel. And so my job is to give them a taste of Dedicated and let them know, hey, we're here. This is what's available. Come have a taste. Have a taste and see, you know, how good it is. And 9 times out of 10, the seniors will love it. And they're taken care of, you know, better than they were before.
The basis for the Chin Way, as I understood it, which just made me think, my God, it's a Christian valued based company.
Yes.
And oftentimes people think that if you're in a spiritual relationship, that you can't foster that per se to the human side because it's always on the spirit. Tell me how the basis of their vision, mission, and values helps you to relay that message to those who may or may not be a follower.
Yes. Well, first of all, that's what drew me to this company. I was so impressed that the CEO, the CFO, all the leadership were so open in their website about freely talking about the Lord and about, you know, their love for God and sharing love and sharing, you know, with passion and accountability, you know, and that's basically in our core. And so what we try to do, we just try to live it. We try to just love people, seniors in particular. We want to love them with our eyes, especially with the mask. You got to love them with the eyes. Love them with our actions. You want to treat them with respect. You want to give them honor because they're give honor where honor is due, and they are worthy of honor. A lot of times our seniors, especially in our communities that are underserved, they're not honored the way they should be. And we try to fill that void, to honor them, and more very specifically, by taking care of them with a high, very high level of care, medical care. You know, we call it VIP service, and I just call it honoring them the way they deserve to be honored.
What do you often find is your biggest challenge while you're trying to relay a caring message to those who really need it?
I think they've been inundated with a lot of messages from a lot of different places. And I think our challenge is to get them to believe that this is really true. A lot of them don't believe that we have such a nice facility until they get here. And they're like, wow, this is very nice. This is this and that. And we were trying to tell you, but, you know, they've been inundated with so much. Trust is a huge issue. So we try to get around that, and we try to, by fulfilling the little things that we tell them, you know, hey, come on by, take a look. We'll give you a free care package so that, you know, you can be blessed for coming. Return the calls whenever, just the small things. We try to build that trust so that when they get here, then it's a whole different world. They see it. We don't even have to, it does itself. It sells itself. And they see the level of care. They see the attentiveness of our doctors. They can have their phone numbers, and, you know, they can get rides. They can have, today I just signed someone up who was interested in our acupuncture that you can't find a lot of places.
Wow.
But we have that, and that was huge. So, you know, we just have so much to offer here, and we just have to get the word out.
Mm.
Got to get the word out, and that's my job.
This can help, like you say, somebody have a better quality of life and the end of their life than what they have already lived. It is well worth it.
Yes,
it
ma'am.
Is well worth it. Thank you so much for being
Thank
a part
you.
Of the West Philadelphia location. And I know I'm going to see you around.
Yes, we will.
And know that you always have a friend in the Bishop Mary Show.
Thank you, Bishop Mary. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Part of the Chen way is the VIP service and excellent medical care that anyone would receive, in particular here in West Philadelphia. I'm happy to introduce you to Dr. David Barr, who is a PCP at the West Philadelphia location. Thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Barr.
Happy to be here, Mary. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, how long have you been in the medical field?
In the medical field, about 3 years on my own, and here at Chen Med about a year and a half now, and loving it. Thank you.
Wow. So when you were on your own, were you with a major health system?
You know, for where I was, this is all the way in like rural West Pennsylvania, but it was a big health system out there, yeah.
When you came here to Philadelphia and you became a part of Dedicated Seniors, what drew you to join the staff here?
The kind of West Philadelphia is like a lot more the place I always imagined myself working, you know, like these are the kind of people that I trained to like to help. And in my, you know, when I did residency, right, it was in a place in Pittsburgh. It's also, you know, has a lot of the same struggles and difficulties and also, you know, advantages that we have here in West Philly, you know, like not great access to healthcare, right? And a lot of folks who, you know, are not reached, even though there are big hospitals and big health networks, like literally right next door, but it could be, you know, they may as well be in another country for all that they're reaching out and helping people, right? So a lot of the same kind of things. And, you know, that's sort of what I cut my teeth on, so to speak, right? That's what I grew up doing. And so that's always what I imagined myself doing. So I wasn't so happy in like rural West Pennsylvania. And I wanted to, that was one thing that drew me.
In your experience of, if you were talking about wanting to help people, the Chen way seems to be a model that's a culture here at any of their locations. What are some of the challenges that you face in trying to get folks to really believe that the Chen way is a reality?
I think it's the same for anyone who's trying to gain someone's trust and work with someone, right? Mm. Because as a doctor, you can say, you can pretend that you have control of what another person does, right? You can just say, well, you're going to do this, right? And then the person will say, well, I'm not doing any of those things. And then they walk away, and that's it, right? So you didn't do anything for that person, right?
Mm.
If you're a good convincer, if you're a good doctor or not, you know, not just doctor, right? Like, you know, anyone who's trying to help someone else, right? Even just a good friend, then you've got to realize that it's not just you saying the right thing. It's you involving the other person, right? And them wanting to do the thing. Right? And they'll only do that if they choose to do it, right? There's no tricking people into doing what's good for them, you know? Like, some people try that. But, you know, maybe some of your listeners have you know, been in that situation where they felt like they were being pushed or coerced or something. Like, certainly these are things that happen, right? I just sit down and I talk to the person. I say, like, you know, this is where I think we should be, right? What do you think? Where do you think we should be? What are we willing to do to get there, you know? And then what can we do now? What can we do today, right? And if the answer is nothing, then what do? You know, I don't abandon the patient. You know, I don't say, well, I tried my best. You're not interested, you know. You're not interested, so I'm not interested, right? I got to be like, all right, well, look, we can't do it today. I'm going to see you again in a little while, right? We're going to talk about it again, right? And so they know, you know, my patients start rolling their eyes at me, but they know that I'm going to keep coming back to them and say, well, how about the smoking, right? You turned me down 15 times in a row. How about the smoking, right? And, you know, it's got to come from them. And I'm just suggesting and, you know, pushing, but I hope from a friendly place.
Wow.
You know, but they're the ones who've got to want it, and they're the ones who've got to make the decisions about what happens with their body. And that's at the center of everything I do. And I think it's something that all the doctors here believe in.
In direct care, particularly for the senior population, who are often feeling like their voice isn't heard, the response is often slow. Sometimes people don't think they have any more value after a certain age. Being part of this system, the patients have direct access to the doctors by the cell numbers. And I've heard it that they can call their doctors. Do you think that's over the line? Or
I don't think by any means it's over the line. I think this should be standard practice for everybody, right? It's ridiculous that no one can call their doctor. It's ridiculous that, like, no one... Some people don't know who their doctor is. I had patients who said, I'm switching over to ChenMed because someone promised me that I would know who my doctor was. Is that true? Like, first thing that they say to me on our first visit, right? I'm like, yeah. It's just going to be me. It's just me. You know, you're going to see me every time. Unless you get sick of me and then you decide you don't want to see me anymore, then okay. But, I mean, I think... The fact that you even asked that question is kind of like showing how far behind things really are, you know, and how much all of us, you know, need to work to get people to like feel like they're being taken seriously, you know, and that they do matter.
Thank you so much for your time, Doctor. I was honored. I appreciate you and I wish you well.
Thank you very much.
In order for West Philadelphia to be a smooth operation, we have to talk to the person who handles that. That's Ms. Nicole Wood, who is the executive director of the West Philadelphia location of Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Wonderful to meet you and chat with you.
Oh, it's all my pleasure. It's just a blessing to have you in our facility today, so we thank you too.
How do you integrate all of the facets to make it a smooth operation that the Chen way works?
Yeah, well, here in West Philadelphia, it's all about the culture. So it's creating that culture and in a sense of belonging, inclusiveness, making sure that everybody has their place, you know, their way of doing things. Everybody's respectful of that, and just making sure that we spend time getting to know each other on a personal, not just professional basis. That really helps. So we take time and do things outside of the center together as a group. And I think that really helps because we get to learn a lot about each other, each other's religions, just different cultures. We really do try to really enrich, you know, all of those things that are different about us, bringing those things in and making us one. So that's one of the things that we really do pride ourselves on here.
And so your background and experience that would lead you here to ChenMed.
Okay, so I have been in the medical field for about 25 years now. I've always worked in underprivileged areas, so I actually worked with the city of Chester for Crozier Keystone Health System for 23 years. So as you know, they do have the monopoly in Delaware County. So I did have the opportunity and the privilege to work in a lot of the different areas. So I was in the suburb of, you know, Brinton Lake with the Glen Mills, and then I was also in the city of Chester. So that diversity there really builds your character and allows you to learn how to bridge relationships with all types of people, right? Mm. Not just one or the other, but all types from every different background, race, economical standpoint. You know, all those things allows you to grow as you grow in a career like that. Very thankful to them for that. So I had the opportunity to do that. I've worked in doctor's offices. I've led the corporate organization. So I've actually was in the corporate center for probably about 10 years. And right before I came here, prior to that, I worked in a doctor's office, a family practice. I had the opportunity to work on the floor drawing blood. I was a phlebotomist. I was a medical assistant. So really just kind of kept working my way into different areas and just kept wherever my passion led me, I went. And went back to school, and then I would get the education for that particular role, and then I would take that role. But I always stayed in the Crozier Keystone Health System family, because that's where I live. I'm from Delaware County, so that's where I wanted to serve. So that's where that's what my background is. So I really had the opportunity, like I said, to grow personally, professionally, and I'm thankful for that.
So what has that experience in comparison to what Chen Med System's done that you bring that helps make your values and their vision work together?
Yeah. So what drove me, what really grabbed my attention and why I wanted to come here is simply their mission. I mean, their mission is just amazing. And this is one company I can say that actually lives the mission.
Wow.
We live the values. There's a lot of places that you hear there's a mission statement, right? We hear that all the time. This company embraces it, encourages it, and we live the values daily.
And what I think is so key, it's not just about your physical health, but it ensures that every facet of your physical health is addressed. If you're hungry, if you're in need of some other wraparound services, so that you can be the best that you can be and live your best life ever. I'm so grateful, Ms. Nicole, you joined with me today. If you have a favorite quote, would you mind sharing that with us?
Oh, be the change you want to see in the world.
Wow. Wow.
Right? That's you, you have to be in there making the change.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A delight to be with you today.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Get into me, which is an introduction to our next guest this morning, Democratic State Representative candidate for the 188th District, Mr. James Wright. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Bishop Mary. How are you?
I am fine. Wonderful for you to get up early on this day to say hello to everybody.
Yes, hello, hello. early Monday.
Absolutely. So, who is Mr. James Wright?
Well, James Wright, I am a candidate for state representative in the 188th district that is in West and Southwest Philadelphia between the river and in some parts 53rd Street and in other parts 58th Street. The northern boundary is Market, the southern boundary is Woodland. So it's Spruce Hill, Cobbs Creek, the back blocks over on Woodland Avenue, and Cedar Park, all those neighborhoods. But I'm from that area, and I grew up there my whole life. As a kid, I went to college. I came back, had my first apartment on 50th Street. And then my wife and I got married. We bought a home in Cobbs Creek on 55th and Hazel. And, you know, so I'm a lifelong resident of that area. My family has been here forever. And so I just, I live and breathe the 188. Telling my kids stories about riding my bike through Clark Park Bowl. They play in Clark Park now. And so that's who I am. I'm a neighbor, I'm a resident, and I went to school for community development. Came out of college, Eastern University. I started doing community development first in Kensington and in Fishtown. And in my daytime job before running for office, I was doing that in Mantua, Mill Creek, down the bottom. And But that's who I am. Just a West Philly guy, Southwest Philly guy, and anxious about helping my neighbors to achieve something better for themselves.
Wow. That's great for you to share, you know, the background, because people wanted to know who are you. And certainly, I believe this is your first time running.
It is my first time running, but it's not my first time working in community. I've been doing community development work for the last 20 years.
Wow. Great. And so why are you running?
You know, it's about stewardship. You know, there's an opportunity in this neighborhood. We've been seeing it for a long time now, that's the last decade and a half. Neighborhood is growing, improving. Resources are coming in, new jobs. Our housing values are up. But, you know, I don't see that opportunity being stewarded well for the broader district. People, especially African Americans, don't have access to those higher quality schools or have limited access. Their home values are increasing, but it's seen as a detriment as opposed to a benefit because resources aren't in place to help them to steward that opportunity. And so I'm running to make sure that things go well for them, that things go well for the seniors in our neighborhood as they're transitioning in age, that they can do that well. So that the neighborhood around them doesn't run them over, but actually cares for them like they've cared for us for such a long time.
Wow. So I'm certain you have key parts of your platform that you want to focus on, in particular with knowing your district, those areas and those concerns for your neighbors. What would they be?
Absolutely. You know, the concerns of our community are right on the nose. We see it every day. Public safety is number one. We know that crime has dramatically risen during the pandemic, but there's always been this undercurrent issues in our community. And the way to best tackle those issues is through a crime prevention platform that combines the efforts of community and police. And so that's what I'm running on. How do we connect residents to police officers so that we can begin to tackle crime right at the block level? The other thing is affordable housing. Affordable housing we have a housing crisis. It's been a crisis, but it's, again, increasing because resources aren't in place to take care of those most vulnerable. I'm talking about families and seniors. So we need to provide more housing at those levels for family-sized units. And we need to make sure that seniors are able to age in our community or age in place if they want to stay in their homes. And then, of course, small business development is very important. We have strong commercial corridors, legacy corridors like 52nd and Baltimore Avenue. We need to make sure that as those businesses grow, as the businesses come in, that they look like and feel like our neighborhood so that our communities feel great about shopping in their neighborhood. And then, of course, education is always very important. You know, there are a lot of disagreements about what education should look like, but the main thing that's important is parent power. Parents have to be able to control, give input, and be involved in their child's education at the school level, whether it's through a homeschool association or a SAC or whatever, so that they can be encouraged about where they send their kids and excited about that opportunity. And so that's my platform right there, you know. Business, housing, public safety, number one, and then education.
As you could very well understand, particularly in the West Philadelphia area, there had been some traumatic things that have happened from move several years ago to several other incidents out there in that area. And oftentimes they feel as though they're being overrun because, of course, University of Pennsylvania, Drexel, CHOP and other in the medical systems seem to overrun those who are on the lower side of West Philadelphia, which is now expanding all the way out, you know, across the board. And not necessarily customer friendly, shall I say,
right? Yeah.
For the residents, given what has happened, particularly with what we call the old Misericordia.
Yep.
And that's a topsy turvy conversation. What role would you play in trying to make sure that we could have neighborhood hospitals or care centers like we did years ago that would be able to meet the needs of the community?
Yeah, you know, because that's important, right? That's very important to have high quality, accessible health services right in your community. And you know, Misericordia, yeah, we know that. Conversation about Misericordia. Yeah, I actually live one block away. I grew up about four blocks away from Misericordia, so I know it really well. You find a way to love the thing, you know, so it's all the history involved in Misericordia is layered, like you said. but it is a beautiful center in our neighborhood. And so when I was aware of the transition, when Trinity Health was thinking about making moves and bringing in partners, I immediately worked to get in touch with folks so that I could be a part of it. I mean, I live a block away. I want to be a part of that process. And fortunately, I was able to meet with Anya and meet with the folks at PHMC and become a part of the community advisory board. So I'm a community advisory board member to make sure that that opportunity is doing well for the community. And that's the best way. I mean, whenever we need to have true community benefit, we need community at the table. So I'm not the only one. There are a number of residents, community activists, and organizations involved. And we're involved in helping that PHMC and Penn Medicine figure out how to provide the best health care for our community. And that's the way, you know, residents have to be engaged. Residents have to see the opportunity and they need help in seeing that and help with the resources and energy and encouragement to get to the table, stay at the table and advocate for their interests at the table. So that's what I'm all about.
I'm glad that you said that because it was more than just talk. You also did action. And that brings us even to a more poignant point. On the front page of the Metro this morning, there is a statement that says, in Pennsylvania, Republicans are registering formerly Democratic voters at four times the rate that Democrats are making the reverse conversion. As a Democratic candidate, what do you feel people need to hear that will cause them to support the Democratic Party and then help you to do the job that you're choosing and desiring to do for the people?
Yeah, I mean, well, people need to see authenticity, right? That's number one, because people are disenchanted because they don't see authenticity, right? And they need to see the ability to get engaged in the process, right? Mm-hmm. And so those two things right there will help to bring people out. And especially this year when we really need it, we have a key Senate race for Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And we have, with the midterms coming up, they're trying to flip our state red. And we can't have that because it's not healthy for Philadelphia to have a red Pennsylvania. So, or to keep it red. We need it to come back to be Democratic, I should say. We need one of our candidates, whichever one, but it needs to be a Democrat and not a Republican, because we need to have as many resources in Pennsylvania as possible, aligning with the Biden administration as much as possible. And so we need Philadelphians to come out, but they have to see authenticity, so they need to see folks like me from the neighborhood that are well-skilled and talented and working with neighbors and providing high-quality community service, right, that's real about people power and connecting people into the action in a real way, not in a paternalistic way, not in a way that talks down to folks. But just like the doctor beforehand, you can't achieve anything with anyone if they don't want to be a part of the process and if you're not doing enough to encourage them to get involved in the process. Right. And so that's where we need to be, on the ground, engaging voters, engaging would-be voters to get registered so that they can be a part of this process. It seems like a light year to folks. Oh, the president isn't running. But this Senate race is very important. And of course, my race is very important for West Philly and for the city of Philadelphia.
So. Well, I'll ask you one question. As someone said, have you had experience with being able to work with people of opposition? Because as you are well aware, the state legislature is Republican led, as well as the Senate. So what skills in your occupation? Maybe give us one example of how you were able to come to some compromise and there was a positive outcome, because I can tell you, having been in Harrisburg, it's a fight. It's a real fight.
Well, you know, I'm ready for the fight. You know, as a community developer, we're fighting all the time.
Yeah.
We're fighting all the time in a good way, advocating for people to get what they need, you know, and that involves engaging developers. Developers are wanting to move into communities and develop real estate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a community developer, you know, sometimes if a developer owns a parcel, you know, they have that opportunity to develop that parcel. But a community developer comes in and says, you know, not in a way that doesn't go along with a community-based strategy, you know? And so residents have organized and said, this is what this neighborhood should look like and feel like in order to keep our interests alive.
Mm.
And so when developers come into communities, I am used to what I've done in my job, engaging that developer, presenting a community plan, and advocating for that plan to be a part of any process for creating new structures. And so the best example of that is at the University City High School site, right?
Mm.
There used to be a high school owned by the school district.
Mm-hmm.
And the school district in 2012 needed to transition out of that for whatever reason. And my role was to engage residents in a collaborative strategy to look at what that new site should become. And so we organized residents in Powhatan, Mill Creek, West Powhatan, and Nantua. We had a couple of different meetings, and we hired an architect to put down what the community said. And then we advocated with the help of civic association members, advocated at the school district to have that strategy adopted with the sale of the property. And then a part of that process, again, involved the council person, Councilwoman Jamie Blackwell,
mm-hmm.
to get us at the table to connect to the developer, to set up a community advisory group that will then work with the developer to steer the community's interest throughout the process. So that's been going on now since 2012. They meet quarterly, and a part of that process was a new school. So that new school, Powell Slams Building, was totally, totally a result of community action, community input and feedback from the establishment of the school, from the design of the school, from the what that school is completely, totally driven from the community up. And so that's what community power can do, because that school is something great for our neighborhood, and it is a public school, and it has a really dynamic curriculum that can support our population.
Wow. Wow. And I heard about all of that. I didn't realize you were that involved in it. I was aware of council, of course, the former councilwoman, Janie Blackwell, and her input. But thanks. That's a great example of you being able to do the work. So, folks, if you're wondering whether Mr. James Wright should be working or should be working for you in the 188th district, as he outlined, certainly with the redistricting, you need to make sure that he's going to be the one. Then consider him. How would people reach out to you?
Yeah, so the first thing is they can visit my website, and it's Right for the People. Four is the number. So it's Right, the number four, thepeople.com.
Okay.
That's the name. That's the best way for folks to reach you. I'm also on social media with that same line, Right for the People. But in this instance, people is PPL. So it's Right, the number four, thepeople on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Wow.
I would give my number out, but
it's all right. They know how to inbox you. They'll catch you.
Yeah.
I thank you so much, Mr. Wright, for joining me this morning. Thank you for accepting my invitation to be here. And certainly we are praying that at the end of the matter, God will be glorified and the outcome will be positive for you. And I'm certainly hoping that you will be safe and you will be well.
Same to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
And so that's going to do it for us today here on the Bishop Mary Show. We thank you so much for joining in, and for all of you that were texting and inboxing me. Oh, I couldn't get it all. The hour goes so quickly. But stay tuned for the next coming weeks, where we will definitely be keeping you abreast as candidates come before you from all levels and all levels of government. And you need to stay tuned right here on the Bishop Mary Show. It is primary season. Happy Holy Week, and we certainly hope that you had a wonderful Palm Sunday, and that you will also have a fabulous Resurrection Sunday. To close out our day, we're going to give God the honor with the doxology. Have a great day. Be safe. Be well. See you next week.
Another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.